In My Body, short story by Indah Dharmastuti, translated by Soe Mehlaulin, narrator Luna Karisma, published intersastra.com and repressed November 2019. There are many animals in my body. I felt them for the first time when I was 9 years old. I was used to sleeping in my room by myself and I wasn't afraid of the dark. I woke up and I opened my window wide. The night was stiflingly hot. The round moon had caught in the top branches of the angsana tree next to the house. It shouldn't have been so hot when a full moon was out. I narrowed my eyes at the sight of the man standing beside the gate to our house, across from my room's window. He seemed to be with Mom. Even though the moon was bright, I couldn't see his face clearly, just the shadow he cast, lining in my direction. I heard Mom trying quite loudly to drive him off, but he says, her shoulder. Something stared in me, as if there were an object as large as a fist pushing out from my stomach and up toward my chest, then rising into my throat until I barked as strongly as I could, like a dog. The man let go of Mom, then looked left and right, searching for the sound source. I almost leapt out the window, but it was too late. The man had already left in his car, heading north. Mom stood there, staring after him as he disappeared. I closed the window quickly, and I returned to lying down, feeling whatever had been pressing against the inside of my chest slowly calming once again. 2 months later, I again realized that there were animals in my body. One afternoon, Mom slapped me very hard with a sandal because I had stolen all the beef that she was going to use to cook rendang. The raw beef turned out to be tasty and my teeth were strong enough to chew it until it was tender. Since that morning, Mom had been busy on the phone for her work and had abandoned me, so I was starving. Malika, are you human or a tiger? Cried Mom, hitting my thigh with the sandal again. I just chewed more quickly and I swallowed the beef. Mom grabbed my jaw, but I covered my mouth with the palm of my hand. Spit it out! I roared, startling Mom, who backed up 2 steps, then ran, frightened. Since then, Mom often watched me with a strange expression, even though I felt fine. 3 weeks after that incident, I discovered another animal inside me. One afternoon, I came home from playing in the field and lifted the covering from the food on the dining table. Earlier, there had been a pandan cake and I wanted to eat some. But now it was gone. Disappointed, I asked Mom where it was. Mom said I had already eaten too much cake. She said it wasn't good for my teeth. I wanted to argue, but she had already returned to her phone. That night I woke up because I needed to pee. When I left the bathroom, I smelled the aroma of pandan cake. I sniffed here and there, squeaking like a mouse, until I found the cake stored above the tool cabinet. Joyfully, I dragged a bench over so I could reach the plate, then grabbed a slice. I tiptoed away and I sat in the corner of the room, nibbling at it. When it was all gone, I looked up and my eyes met those of the tiger in the painting of the living room wall. I shocked. Scared would pounce on me. I shifted immediately, hiding further in the corner, taking cover beside the sofa. Sweat damped my neck and forehead. I took a moment to calm myself, then tiptoed back to my room without taking another slice. When I was in fifth grade, a beer rose up in my body. First, I felt blood throbbing in the crown of my head and my two hands shook with rage. I groaned and attacked Dad, who had dared to slap Mom. I lifted his body and slammed it into the kitchen table. Mom cried, wiping her cheeks, which were red from Dad's blows. I reached for a tissue and held it out to her. She hugged me. Had stood up and threatened to beat both of us. "You two women bring bad luck to this house," he said, massaging his side, which had hit the edge of the table. Mom sobbed and my heart broke. No one was allowed to hurt her, including Dad. "You worthless little thing! You uncontrollable woman!" Dad cried. I only grinned, baring my teeth. My saliva flowed because of the scent of blood. I looked at him and he fell to the floor. I licked spots of blood from his forehead, savoring the taste on my tongue. His eyes were wide, shocked to see a beer in front of him. That was the last time I ever saw Dad. Mom wasn't sad that he never returned home. One night, 5 months after Dad's departure, a ball arose in my body when I saw a visitor dare to kiss Mom on the lips. Mom looked away in an attempt to resist, but the man drove his face into Mom's neck. This wasn't allowed to happen. I wouldn't let it. A pair of sturdy horns sprouted from my brow and I rammed into Mom's visitor, overturning him. He bolted away, leaving behind his jacket. Sitting next to me, Mom sobbed. She said, "I didn't like what he was doing, but you shouldn't act like this." She looked worried. The ball shrunk and a cat appeared instead, inching forward and meowing, seeing Mom's heavy tears flow down her cheeks. I didn't know what she was thinking. I love her. But why did it seem like she didn't understand? I want to protect and defend him from the man who'd want to swallow her completely. No one was allowed to be disrespectful to Mom. I'd already made sure Dad, who had slapped her cheek, would never dare return home, to say nothing of her friend. Mom kept sobbing and was devastated. One afternoon, when I was in my first year of junior high, I was watering the plants in front of the house when a man got out of a car. He greeted me, nodding amiably. His build was average, his steps were light, and he wore a gray collared shirt. When he saw Mom come out to greet him, the light in his eyes was warm. She laughed and invited him in. Something gentle crept into my heart and melted my insides. I was softened. Mom called to me, "Malika, come here. Come, greet my friend." And I was happy. Delighted, I jumped to my feet. There was a rabbit in my body. I hop up and down, then sat close, as if stuck to Mom, especially when a man's hand stroked my head. That was a beautiful moment, one I'll never forget. The sweet, the silly rabbit was sleepy, and I sensed Mom herself had transformed into a gentle woman. In the living room, they talked a lot, reminiscing about their school days. It seemed her visitor was a classmate from high school. I guessed maybe he'd been her boyfriend when she was young. The man invited Mom to his 47th birthday party. She promised to go and asked me along as well. When I became a teenager, I no longer felt animals roaming inside me. It was as if they were all fast asleep. I didn't have many problems with my schoolmates or the kids in the neighborhood. I played happily, but in reality spent more time daydreaming, and what often filled my daydreams was Batara. We were in the same junior high. He was my senior. He was tall and thin, reserved but generous with smiles. He lived a block from my house. I don't know why, but I felt like he was different from our friends, both his and mine. When we waited together at the bus stop, we talked, and I felt comfortable near him. If I ran into him on the street, he smiled at me. My heart thumped, and inside I felt calm. After he graduated, we never met at the bus stop again. I made sketches of his face on the back covers of almost all my notebooks. I wasn't interested in most of the subjects at school, and I wasn't interested in marching. I wondered why everyone's steps had to be regulated like that, beginning with the left foot, then the right, left, right, and it had to be in unison. Why not let everyone just walk? But what did I care? I was only interested in art and gym, because gym made my body strong and healthy. Despite all that, I was never left back. Of course, I was also never the top student. Being at the top wasn't important to me. If it was only going to be used as a weapon against others, like what Ronaldo did, for instance. He was always top of the class. Not just top of the class, he also frequently won inter-school and provincial level competition. He mastered all subjects with ease. All the teachers loved him. All his friends respected him. In fact, many of the girls flirted with him and scrambled to be close to him. I had never liked him and definitely didn't flirt with him. I preferred being alone when our classmates fused over how great Ronaldo was. Ronaldo, who had won the province English debate competition and would soon go overseas. In my opinion, that achievement made his arrogance even greater. Every time he ran into me, it was as if his gaze forced me to obey him, to respect him, but I wouldn't do it. Maybe it was my rejection that made him stop me in the second floor hallway. near the library, the place where I usually stole away to daydream of Batara, not to read. "Hello, Malika," Rinaldo greeted me with a teasing smile. His hair was neatly combed. His clothing was ironed smooth, and usually it will stay that way until it was time to leave school. "Hi." I tried to quickly pass him because I needed to pee and also because his smile made me want to throw up. He pulled me toward him. His right hand clutched my arm. His left hand reached for my waist and he put his lips close to mine. I was horrified and I struggled to pull away from him. Something in my body stretched. In my stomach, it was as if there were an object, as hard as stone, as big as a fist, pressing against my chest. My fingernails landed, gripping his arm. My feet sprouted nails too, hardening, scraping the floor, just as pointed fangs shot out from my mouth. Strength flowed through every inch of my body. My feet stomped. I tilted my head and beat his arm. His skin tore, blood soaking his white uniform. He ran away, screaming, accusing me of trying to kill him. Of course, everyone believed him. The smartest person in school would never lie, and every eye looked at me with horror. The next day, Mom was called to school. She had to sign many forms, her face expressionless. She then let me out of the principal's office and brought me to every teacher to take my leave. I was expelled from school that day. "What did I do wrong, Mom?" I asked when we arrived home. "You're still asking what you've done wrong? He's the bad one. He wanted to kiss my mouth and I didn't want him to. I believe you, but they won't. They didn't ask me why Rinaldo's arm was injured. He was a jerk. I just defended myself." "Malika, when you were little, I wasn't sure about you. But I got over it. I'm still trying to love you. It's just that." "Just what?" "I'm worried your father's animal ways will come alive in you, be passed down to you." "I'm not an animal, Mom. But where did you get strength like that? You shouldn't be able to rip up your schoolmate's arm like that, no matter how hard you beat him." "No, Mom, I'm your child," I howled loudly, very loudly. But she just stared at me, frightened. She trembled, her back flat against the wall, and screamed until the villagers came. They were shocked to see me growling and scratching the wall. There was an angry bear inside me. All of them tried to capture me in that afternoon. I cried when a man struck my back with a long rod. I seized the rod and swung it until the people backed away. But they called others. I became more enraged. I lunged at the mob. I lifted a chubby man and flung him down near Mom. She fainted and some carried her to the sofa. I growled and roared again. But the villagers' determination to capture me became even fiercer. More came bringing clubs and ropes. I struggled and fought against them, but ropes as big as my thumb ensnared me and sweat flowed from my body. I was running out of energy just when I saw Batara among them. He was trying to undo the ropes wrapped around my body, but someone kicked his hand. The villagers separated me from Batara. They carried me out, crying, "Catch her! Catch her now!" was marched along, my body bowed, through the streets of the village. Many scarred eyes looked at me, some regarding me with pity. I was taken to a hut built of planks with broken shutters. I was blind with rage at seeing the dilapidated room. The door opened for me. They flung me inside. I struggled, roared, but there were too many of them for me to fight. My body was still tied up, but someone held my legs, and then my feet were stuck into a long block of wood. And that's why I'm here, in this cramped room with barely any light, caged with my legs in stocks. Until one evening, after a night and day, I become hungry. Again, I feel something in my body stretch. The muscle of my legs and arms strengthen and harden. I break the long block of wood shackling my legs. I fling the wood at the door, just as Batara appears there. In my eyes, his face is a dove. He enters and hugs me. "Malika," he says, "I'm sorry I've only just come. The villager threatened me. Have I dared to come to see you here? I pretend I didn't care about you until they let down their guard. This is the moment. Our time is short. This isn't our place, Malika. We have to leave." "Batara." My voice stops when I hear many footsteps approaching. We go outside and see the villagers brandishing sticks and rods. "It's them!" the crowd yells. "Batara is there as well. We'll catch them both." "Malika, don't pay attention to them," says Batara. "We have to go." "Batara, I want to find my mom. I have to see her." "Not now. Your mom is fine, believe me," he says, clasping my wrist. I see, growing on his back, a pair of white wings ready to take flight. Even as I feel a pair of wings on my back as well, splitting apart, strengthening, stretching. We fly towards the sky, the sun sinking behind the hills.